Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So it looks like the Orioles are going to miss Tarek Skubal twice.
Yeah.
This series, and then again next week when they come to Oriole Park in Camden Yards, as his next scheduled start is Wednesday of next week. But we'll get into that. Danielle Allen Tuck will be joining us, and then we'll have your American League East report as we preview this one. Detroit on the fringes of wild card hopes, 3.5 back of that last spot. Ravens are 9-point favorites at home against the Raiders coming up on Sunday. Here to talk about that from the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome back, as we do every Friday, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning.
Morning, folks. How's it going?
Good. It's going all right. Give us an injury report here heading into Sunday's game. Nate Wiggins added to the report. What can you tell us about that? Because we know John Harbaugh would rather lend you money than talk about the injured Ravens heading into any given matchup here.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have much for you guys. Tried to figure some stuff out, but couldn't go anywhere with that. So, obviously, if he were... he would have had to been listed as limited on the injury report on Wednesday for that neck injury to have been football related. I guess we'll hopefully find out more from Harbaugh in a couple hours time, and then in about 25 minutes time, we'll actually know if he's actually out there. So, hoping that neck is not a big deal. Obviously, they have more than enough depth at that position, especially with this Raiders receiving corps not being anywhere close to as deep as that Chiefs receiving corps. So, I guess we'll know more pretty soon, but I don't have a lot of info for you guys.
Now, Jonas, Zach Orr assessed himself yesterday when he met with everybody out at One Winning Drive. How would you assess week one for Zach Orr, first-time play caller for the Ravens defense, which is expected to be one of the best in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe they got a little too in over their heads with some of the substitution patterns, taking out Trent Simpson for some of the heavier formations. They went with Roquan Smith for some dime looks. I don't know if those were the possessions that have led to those timeouts, but as Zach Orr said, the offense sure could use those two timeouts at the end of the game, and it was a shame that they had to waste them to get that defense set up. But I thought it was interesting that just looking at some of the defensive splits that, this was among the highest man-to-man rates that the Ravens have used in recent years. I think that's a good strategy. You have this great pass defense. You have Marlon, you have Brant Stevens, Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams. The list goes on and on. Why not trust those guys more to hold up in man coverage and, unleash the dogs a little bit as blitzers? So I don't know if that was going to be a one-time thing where they thought they could rattle Mahomes or glove up those receivers, but I think that was an interesting evolution from the kind of defense that we saw from Mike McDonald.
You know what always happens the first game, Jonas, is you have so much time because your opponent forever. And you have, like I said, you have time, you have months, you have weeks to prepare, and you put in too much stuff. And I think that's what happened with the Ravens on defense.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up, Benny, because you spin it forward to week two. And, one of the questions that I asked Zach yesterday was, personally, I was expecting the Raiders to line up with the kind of offensive personnel that the Ravens did in week one. They got Brock Bowers in the first round this year. They drafted Michael Mayer with a top 35, top 40 pick last year. And I think they shared the field for about 15 snaps total in that week one game against the Chargers. So, I think they were primarily 11 personnel, three wide receivers. And, Zach Orr admitted, he was surprised that they didn't line up in more heavy personnel sets. So maybe it's a good thing that, they don't have to worry as much as they thought about those kind of looks. Or maybe that was the Raiders just kind of playing possum a little bit with the Chargers, which would not be a good strategy, and keeping some cards hidden for week two, because obviously that there is plenty of skill talent at the receiver positions for the Raiders, but maybe not optimized in the best way possible.
Hey, Jonas, did anybody ask any of the coaches? How much time have they spent talking to the Charger coaches, probably on Sunday or Monday?
No, I don't think. Neither Zach Gore nor Todd Monken was asked that.
Yeah, that'd be a good question for Harbs today. How much, you know, and he'd probably say, well, I always talk to my brother, you know.
I think he called it. I think that would be exactly it. I mean, if you know, Harbs isn't talking to Andy Reid at all during the summer, despite their long history because of the fact that they were playing in week one, I don't know if that means that they would be talking more or less to those guys about what happened in week one with that Chargers-Raiders game. But obviously, as you said, there is great familiarity between those staff.
Hey, Jonas, would this be fair? Because I have one key on offense for this game, and that's the O-line grade C-plus or higher in my grading scale, just because I think it's all going to revolve around the O-line, the run game, the pass game, because their defensive front is outstanding, I think. I think Crosby and Wilkins and Jenkins and Butler, I think they are very good against the run and the pass.
Yeah, I mean, I think people want to look at that Raiders-Chargers box score and say, oh my gosh, you know.
Two plays.
Past his prime, I know, past his prime, J.K. Dobbins went for 120 yards on, 11, 10 carries. But, you know, on a down-to-down basis, that Raiders run defense was like top five in the NFL in success rate, which measures just how well you are doing at, you know, preventing positive EPA plays. And to me, Vinny, it's not just, it's more specific than that defensive line. It's just like the right side of that Ravens line against the left side of that Raiders line. You know,
you mean Jenkins and Crosby?
Yeah, because I think Crosby spent about like 60-70% of his snaps lined up over the right tackle. Wilkins spent, I think, all but three snaps in that week one game on the right side of the line. And they're going to run a lot of pass rush games. And that means that it's time for McCary and Rosengarten and Pylele to be on their P's and Q's and you know what is going to happen on any given play. Because I think those two guys, considering the weakness that the Ravens have on the offensive line, are good at this, a close game and potentially an upset. You know, that those guys almost never come off the field. I think Crosby played 100% of the snaps in week one. I think Wilkins played all but three snaps. So it's not even a situation where you can say, oh, I can finally take a sigh of relief here because they're not on the field. Those guys will always be on the field, and they're always going to have that motor revved up super high in addition to being super talented players.
Jonas, do you think Lamar runs the ball as much as he did last week? And if he does run, do you think that he's going to have the intent like he did last week, you know, like running people instead of sliding and getting out of bounds?
I guess to answer the first part of your question, we're going to have to see just how much Crosby and Wilkins are getting after him.
Right.
I think what was lost from that week one game, the Ravens game, is that like the pressure rate for Lamar wasn't as high as maybe his amount of scrambling indicated. I think sometimes he bailed some clean pockets. I think sometimes he got a little happy feet. But I do think there is something to be said for him just being a more responsible scrambler, a more responsible between the tackles runner. I mean, I think, you know, looking back at the film from that week one game, he scrambled like nine times. I think he only basically, you know, went out of harm's way on four of those. Now, there were a couple of those where he was just like kind of lightly tapped as he's falling forward. But, you know, if he's weighing 200, 205 pounds, and he's going to be putting himself through this kind of mental and physical stress, then you've got to do what you can to preserve your body. I mean, you know, there was that scramble up the middle, I think, in the third quarter where he gets the first down, and I think 99% of NFL quarterbacks would give themselves up, but he's trying to juke past, you know, Reed, or not Justin Reed, they're the Chiefs' rookie safety in the middle of the field. He doesn't get past him. The safety lays a nice hit on Lamar's thighs, and I'm like, come on, man, you know, you already got what you came here for. Just live to see another down. And I think, obviously, a lot of what we saw from Lamar week one was just that competitiveness and probably the chip on the shoulder with him having that record against the Chiefs and probably some you know, bitterness over how last season ended, but you can't have that kind of mentality in every game, or otherwise your season is not going to be a very long one.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joins us every Friday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jonas, last thing for you. There's no way in hell, I wouldn't think, that Gardner Minshew comes in here 2 years in a row and beats the Ravens. So tell us why the Ravens will pick up their first win and how handily will it be?
Yeah, I got Ravens 27, Raiders 14. I think, like I said, I am worried about that defensive line. I think it's good enough to just really put the Ravens in some tough spots. But, you know, this offensive line for the Raiders is okay. But it just comes down to the quarterback. I mean, I think you could argue that Gardner Minshew is one of the least talented quarterbacks on the Ravens' schedule, certainly physically. Does not really have the ability to make anything happen out of structure. You know, I think he had one of the lowest average depths of target in week one. So even if the Ravens, you know, even if he's got a quick trigger and the Ravens find it tough to get home with that pass rush, it's hard for me to see him being a guy who is consistently dotting the Ravens up for 10, 15, 20-yard passes. And I think if the Ravens find themselves in enough situations where it's third and long or second and longer, then, you know, this is a situation where the Ravens probably won't have to worry too much about the Raiders getting to that red zone, because I just don't think with that run game, especially, that there's enough diversity and just, you know, deep threats on that offense to really make the Ravens, you know, change how they want to play on defense.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Featured Artist Friday. Have fun at M&T on Sunday.
Thanks, Jonas.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Jonas Schaefer, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Have it in the world of sports last night. Well, there was some college football in addition to the NFL. What happened historically in this day, Ravens and Orioles history, we'll let you know. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTypes.com. Bottom of the hour-ish as Maryland's at UVA taking on the Cavaliers. Virginia's 2-0. Maryland trying to be 2-1, because if they lose there, this thing could get out of control.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Troll.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the whip around on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Frankie Beverly and Mays. College football, a couple games last night. Arizona State held off Texas State 31-28. Arizona State with the ball just trying to run out the clock. The quarterback takes a knee. Thought the game clock had expired. They put another second on the clock as the coach, Dillingham, is interviewing with ESPN. And then Texas State actually got another play. They tried the old hook and lateral multiple times. But 3-0. Sun Devils are early in the season.
Are they? What conference are they in? ACC?
Big 12.
Big 12.
Let's see. South Alabama beat Northwestern State. And you're like, well, who cares? Well, how about it was 87-10?
Whoa!
There you go. That's an eye-opener right there. So if you had the over in that game, I'm assuming you hit, unless it was 100. Let's see. Maryland's at Virginia tomorrow, as we'll talk about with Keith Cavanaugh coming up here in a couple of minutes. Terps 2.5-point favorites in that one. Disappointing loss last Saturday at home. Michigan State spreads 57.5 there. Boxing tomorrow night. Canelo Alvarez defends his super middleweight championship against Edgar Berlanga, who's undefeated. 22-0, 17 knockouts. His first 16 wins were all first-round knockouts. But to say he's leveling up would be an understatement. Canelo, some say he's kind of cherry-picking his opponents right now, but that's tomorrow night. 61-2-2, 39 KOs. That's in Vegas, and I'll be watching that one. I'll have the three TVs working tomorrow night, and tonight, as a matter of fact. I'll have the Orioles and Tigers, Yankees, Red Sox. And I think I got a little Arizona K-State football.
That'll be a That'll be a good game.
And we'll talk more about that when we do our picks later in the show. It's the whip around this day in sports history. It is Friday the 13th. Not every September 13th on Friday, by the way, for you easily confused types. 1973, Orioles Baseball, Memorial Stadium. Doug DeSensei. Base hit, scores Enos Cabell. Bottom of the 10th, Orioles walk off the Tigers 7-6. Tommy Davis, three ribbies. Brooksy had two, and the Orioles win 7-6 on their way to the AL East Championship. How about 1974? Doubleheader, Memorial Stadium against the Cleveland Indians. Game one, Boog Powell, Paul Blair went deep. Mike Cuero got his 19th win of the season, 3-2 Orioles. Nightcap, 8-6, Orioles win. Tommy Davis went deep. Rich Coggins had three ribbies. Al Bumbry drove it two. Bullet Bob Reynolds got the win in both games. Coming out of the bullpen as the Orioles were charging. They went 28-6 down the stretch to win the division that year. 50 years ago, our buddy Ross Grimsley won 18 games for the Orioles that year. 2012, 14 innings. Oriole Park in Camden Yards. Manny Machado. Base hit, bottom of the 14th. Scores Adam Jones. That was rookie. Rookie Manny Machado. Manny Machado just became the all-time home run leader in Padres history.
Jeez.
12 years ago, he's a rookie. Not even a month into his career, base hit wins it for the Birds 3-2. This day in Ravens history, 2009, season opener at M&T against Kansas City. And this ain't the Chiefs that we're watching nowadays.
No.
Joe Flacco, three touchdowns. One to, let's see here. Todd Heap, Mark Clayton, Willis McGahee caught one. Jared Johnson, two sacks, 38-24. Ravens blow out Kansas City. Ravens would lose in the divisional round to the Colts that year. And then 2020, Lamar coming off that MVP season. We're in the throes of COVID here.
Yes.
But it was the season opener against the Browns. And a rookie running back out of Ohio State made his presence known right out of the gate.
Jackson from the gun. Dobbins corner. Dobbins turns it upfield for the touchdown. First of his career, J.K. Dobbins.
CBS on the call. That was the season opener 4 years ago today at M&T. Ravens blow out the Browns 38-6. Lamar, three touchdown passes, two to Andrews, one to Willie Snead. And J.K. Dobbins in his first game rushed for two touchdowns. And here he is 4 years later off of multiple injuries now, doing some good things, at least for one game, for the Chargers. But yeah. What a difference 4 years makes.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Bob, to be totally honest, I mean, I was happy for the kid. He doesn't look great running.
A little slow.
Yeah.
But you could see the instincts to get to the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Are there. And the Ravens will see the Chargers later in the season. But he did it against the Raiders, and we'll talk more about that as the show rolls on. We got news from the Nets coming up top of the hour. But when we return here on this Featured Artist Friday, it's Frankie Beverly and Mays. We got Keith Cavanaugh. Maryland, they lay the egg against Michigan State, which we've dissected very well. Now we look ahead to Virginia and big basketball recruiting news for Kevin Willard. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. And then we're going to hear from Lamar. We're going to hear from Kyle Hamilton coming off a disappointing game. Coming up, news from the Nets. Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, good morning. And before we get to Maryland and Virginia, old-fashioned ACC rivalry renewed, how about that good news coming from Kevin Willard's camp earlier this week?
Well, Bob, stop the presses. Frankie, Beverly, and Mays, and I'm dating myself here for sure, but
you
don't
are
tell
old.
Anybody. I saw them at RFK Stadium in D.C., you know, the Redskins' old stadium, in 1977. They opened with Rick James, Cameo, Lakeside, the Barcays, Stacy Ladisaw.
I remember her. She was like 12 at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
I think she was 11. But and War, the band War was there too. So sorry, I heard he passed. But getting back to the sports.
Yeah. You are old. Here. Damn, 77? I wasn't even allowed to walk to the store by myself when I was 12.
Yeah, I think I hitchhiked down there or whatever. But anyhow, it was like 150 degrees at old RFK. But moving along to more current events. Football, we'll get to that in a minute. Basketball, the Terps, Baltimore, front court of the future is in place now, guys. Obviously, Derek Queen is a freshman on campus now. Actually, I saw a poll this week. He's the fifth best big man in the country. heading into the season. It's a little lofty, but we'll take it. But anyhow, this past week, Marcus Jackson, we talked about last week on the show, four-star Baltimore native, now at Compass Prep in Arizona, Bob and Vinny, he's a left-handed Hakeem Warrick. Uber athlete, great bounce, great finisher, long, 6'7", 210, four-star, top 100 player. So he visited last weekend, but no one expected him to commit. Both him and Queen are Under Armour teammates for Team Thrill, one of the top AAU programs in the country, and Bud. So he went ahead and pulled the trigger. That's huge news for Willard for the next class here, his first commit. But this guy's got serious hops, bounce, you know, all the SEC, Big Ten, Big East schools were after him. So Marcus Jackson is a great start. And meanwhile, Jordan Scott, Chrissy Winter Scott's son, 6'7", small forward, he was on campus for an unofficial. Conversely, on the somewhat negative side, Omari Witherspoon, who we talked about last week, did choose Pitt over Maryland this week. They sold on him on being the next Baltimore Bob Carrington point guard, freshman, go straight to the league, and he went with that. But Chris Jeffrey from Mount Zion, the other guard Maryland's involved with, they still lead four over Michigan State, Texas A&M, Penn State, and others. We could be hearing from him soon. But to get Marcus Jackson high-flying, above-the-rim, lefty, you know, his defense and his outside shot have improved. But he's a slasher, crasher, finisher. But you remember Hakeem Warrick back in the day, Maryland recruited him out of Philly. Unfortunately, he went to Syracuse, but a left-handed version of Hakeem.
Yeah, won a national championship, if I'm not mistaken, with Carmelo Anthony way back when. Keith Kavanaugh.
Another miss.
Yeah, I saw that Crotty committed Oklahoma State. Crotty from Charlottesville, not related to John Crotty.
No
but that's relation. That's another story for another day. But Michigan State, we've been talking about that debacle all week long. We talked about it with Damon a couple of days ago. And, you know, it is what it is. It's week two of the season. The regroupage looking ahead to – because I looked at this game, even if they beat Michigan State – this game always kind of scared me. I don't even know who their quarterback is or their offensive lineman, but Virginia, Maryland.
Calandria.
That resonates kind of, sort of. I know the basketball thing's going to start to percolate here soon as well, but what about Virginia? They're 2-0. They won at Wake. What should concern Maryland fans about this matchup?
Well, Saturday night, 8 o'clock game down at Scott Stadium. All of a sudden, Virginia fans are all jacked because they're 2-0. They went down to Wake, upset them 31-30 in the last minute. Calandria is starting to come in his own, the quarterback. Now, remember last year up here, he had 3 picks and 1 fumble. Now, he did throw 2 picks against Wake, but it's a scary, scary game because all the things we feared in the preseason, the lines being exposed, the bonehead penalties and MAs, playing not to lose, not making adjustments, special teams, gaffes, and whatnot. Unfortunately, all festered against Michigan State when they started playing the big boys in terms of most particularly on the line. You can't go with the 3-man rush the whole time. You got to mix it up. Also, they got ahead and they got vanilla in the play call. That 3rd and short run up the gut was terrible. Husky and Fisher were exposed on the back line. They need more help in man there. They need some more safety help. And the run game kind of slowed down as well. So many things to prepare for. And if they come out flat for this roadie, and this was a game everyone projected, you know, Michigan State, Virginia, and Villanova, we're going to be kind of, I don't want to say gimmies, but they would have hopefully have been a 3-0 start. Now you're back at kind of square one singing, geez, will our lines hold up? Can we mix it up and show some pressures and blitzes? And so the quarterback doesn't sit. I mean, you got to remember Childs was terrible in week one. Last week, him and his receivers all look like they're going to the NFL tomorrow. So that was very, very disappointing. You got to hope for a bounce back, but what, a 9 or 10 penalties again, 2 gaffes on field goals that were costly in the end. The litany goes on of the things we feared would not creep back up because here you are, guys, in year 6. You need to be progressing, not regressing in these critical areas, both on and off the field.
Hey, Keith, with the types of recruiting or that the commits that the basketball is getting and then Lox is getting a lot of 4-stars and stuff. They must be having a little NIL cash.
Well, they've definitely added to their cachet there in the NIL space. Now you got to hope they win because
otherwise,
you got the 23rd ranked class in the country. But if the season starts falling apart here, because again, the last six games are highly problematic, you can potentially, they've already lost three or four recruits in this recruit cycle. Many were, commits from last spring or summer that were just three stars and nothing majorly impactful. But you don't want to lose because you don't want to lose recruits. You don't want to lose because you don't want to lose people to the portal. You don't want to lose because you may lose assistant coaches if we see this repetition year to year of the same self-inflicted that they keep shooting themselves in the foot with. But yeah, right now, 22 commits, 23rd ranked in the class. So you got to hold on, but you got to win some games. You got to get the stadium back full again. Go out and beat someone you're not supposed to. Hold court on the games you're supposed to. Maryland's, 2.5 points for tomorrow night. It's
yes.
A very, very tricky game. They were up to 10-point favorite at one point over Sparty with a new coach and a very green quarterback, who all of a sudden found their groove against Maryland. So things to tighten up, be it on the field, be it play call, be it adjustments. And, the young corners were exposed. We didn't really – Husky was one of the top two or three portal D-back transfers in the entire country, and he got – beat twice deep, and he screwed up on jumping off sides on that field goal. That cost him 3 points. Yeah. So the list goes on. So hopefully mentally, physically, everything, they're ready to go down there. But Virginia's got a lot of buzz right now. A lot of the fans down there were apathetic, but no longer.
Yeah, he was running like he was Husky, if you know what I'm saying. Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. You enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
But you forgot. We just added a UVA men's basketball 4-year series. That's great. In addition to Georgetown. So bring back a lot of memories. But as long as Virginia doesn't beat Maryland tomorrow, I'll be happy with that series.
Yeah, we need revenge from that 1986 ACC tournament at the Cap Center. I'm still pissed off about that how many years later. Yeah, Keith Kavanaugh, have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks.
There's Keith. So good basketball recruiting news, and we'll see what Maryland does to clean up some things against the Cavaliers of football. And when we come back, Funhouse Nolan McGraw, and bad news if you're a fan of Hollywood Brown. Before we say hello to Nolan McGraw, go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what is up?
Hello?
Hello, Mitch.
Hello?
Yeah. Mitch. Yeah, what's up?
What's wrong with this technology? That wasn't my fault. How you doing, Vinny? Thanks for taking my call.
Good to hear from you.
To Rob's mom. I know that it feels 6 months ago. It's still hard to believe, you can't just call anymore. I can't believe that the Raiders selling, they're struggling already. They're definitely getting another clock next year. Them and the Giants, and unfortunately, Atua. What do you think about his career? Can he be able to recover, or this is going to be it? And how you think? How about my Pac-12 coming back?
It's
bits and pieces. It's coming back.
Boise, Colorado State, I think, is in there.
And they're probably going to end up adding Vegas. And
Community College of Baltimore, I think, is joining there. They're doing everything they can to piece together a conference, which has been, if UCLA and USC aren't in it, it's not the Pac-12, with all due respect to everybody else. But Tua, because I was watching a replay of NFL Network's post-game show.
Yeah.
With Rhett Lewis and MJD, and Maurice Jones-Drew was saying, it might be time to have that conversation with the family. We need to shut it down here or what?
Well, the thing about it is the doctors will give them all the information. We don't know anything. The doctors are the experts. They'll sit down with him and tell him what he can and can't do, or if he should or shouldn't, or here's the pluses and minuses, long term, short term, although they'll have that discussion with him. And the doctors will make that decision. Not all, all these media, that's all they're talking about it. And to them, you don't matter.
Sure. And I did see on ESPN that the Dolphins are bringing in a quarterback today to be determined. So they're obviously
Tannehill, I'm
looking
guessing.
Hey, the team that drafted him. How about that? Yep. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Oh, hello. What's going on with y'all, Bob, Vinny?
All right, Trippy.
It's opening game day. Hey, I just rolled past the bank. It's looking good. I cannot wait to Sunday. But look, right, I want to get my score prediction. I know I'll be giving some off-the-wall score prediction, but I think I like the Ravens 42, the Raiders 13. I think they're only going to score field goals. Well, they can't score just 15. Give them 15. They're going to score 5 field goals. And I think Rashad Bateman going to have a big game this week.
I hope
so. I'm going to take him an anytime touchdown. Hey, Vinny, you know I ain't talked to you last week. How you felt about that catch, though? I think that's kind of good he caught that ball, though, right? Because imagine if he would have dropped that. How you think fans would have felt about that?
Oh, yeah. And I think the biggest thing is
Trippy would have felt about it.
Yeah, for his confidence. For his confidence, that's big.
By the way, if the Ravens score 42 points, they're not kicking 5 field goals. They're going to be going for touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't.
He's talking about the Raiders there.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't see
the Raiders. If the Ravens have 42, I don't think they're going to be settling for 3.
If they score, 42, Minshew got benched in that one.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah,
he'll be needing all the aid he can get. Hi, Nolan, hello. How are you, by the way?
Doing good. Maybe they're up 15-0, and the Ravens score 40 plus unanswered.
42 unanswered points. And then Antonio Pierce is going to have some splaining to do. But by the way, if they're kicking 5 field goals, now we're really overthinking this. That means time of possession is probably heavy in Las Vegas' category there. But Nolan, say hi before we get to the top of the hour and news from the Nest.
We're doing good over here. I'm going to be a company man for a second, promote Sunday's pregame coverage because it is the return. It is the home opener. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored live at the Horseshoe Casino. We're back at Brew Brothers this year. A little bit different. A little bit of a different location, a little bit of a different setup, but you can come on out and join us. All the hosts are going to be there. Same lineup as always. Bob and Ken kicking things off.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and Vinny getting it going from there.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours, taking you all the way up until kickoff. So come on out and join us.
And full disclosure, you mentioned the difference. We know where Brew Brothers is. We've been there for a couple of years, but we haven't seen the new setup yet. So not only are the listeners going to get to experience it different, so are we. So we're all going to find out together after I lose $40 in the slot machines before the show.
So we're outside those doors, I guess, right? It's the way it sounds.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow, Sunday rather, coming up at 10 o'clock. When we come back, news from the Nets. Going to hear from players, coaches, Ravens ahead of the Raiders. Buy or sell coming up at 12:15. Talk Orioles, Danielle Allen Tuck, Baltimore Banner, Birds in Detroit taking on the Tigers. 2 games back of the Yankees. Detroit, since July 1st, they're 37-26. But the Orioles are going to miss Tarek Skubal. But let's be honest. Anyone with 2 arms can go out there and probably hold the Orioles to 2 for 12 with runners in scoring position.